What if I told you you have the power to give someone hope far beyond their wildest dream? What if I told you it's right there in your hand, in your hand? It's hard to imagine how something so small can make all the difference, tear down the tallest wall. What if December looked different this year? What if we all just give this Christmas away? If there's love in your heart, don't let it stay there. Give this Christmas away, and your life will be changed by the gift you receive when you give this Christmas away.
It's beating the heart, it's hurting the heart, it's telling me
there's love in your heart, don't let it stay there. Give this Christmas away, and your life will be changed by the gift you receive.
Oh, when you give this Christmas away.
For God so loved, someone hope far beyond the wildest dream.
What if December looked different this year? Yeah,
what if we all just give this Christmas away? If there's love in your heart, don't let it stay there. Give this Christmas away, and your life will be changed by the gift you receive.
Oh, when you give this
Christmas away. Give this Christmas away.
Prophecies of the Old Testament, we are told where Christ would be born. Micah 5:2, but you, O Bethlehem, out of you will come a ruler. What he did. Zechariah 9:9, your king will be here and bring salvation. what Jesus would say, Deuteronomy 18:18. God said, I will put my words in Christ's mouth. How he would die, Zechariah 12:40. The piercing of the Messiah. Christ's resurrection, Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. About 700 years before Christ's child was born, the prophet Isaiah announced the coming of Christ, the Christ child. But in the days of Messiah back then, the world looked pretty dark and pretty bleak, and most of all, hopeless. The nation of Israel had turned back, turned its way, turned its back to God. Full of pride, was full of arrogance, and worshiping other gods and not the true God. In verse 1, we will read that the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali. Let's think a little bit about where Jesus was born. We know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. And after King Herod died, who sought to kill the babe, Mary and Joseph moved back to the region of Galilee. And guess which lands were right next door to Galilee? Zebulun and Naphtali. That's where the Israelites were located at that time, who had turned their backs on God. In the New Testament, Matthew tells us early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus left his home town of Nazareth, and Jesus went and lived in Capernaum, which was right by Zebulun and Naphtali. Jesus' ministry began in those lands. And to fulfill what was said by the prophet in Isaiah in our reading today, in Matthew 4:13-16, it says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness had seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled in the New Testament. Jesus would eventually bring the light of his ministry to that land in Zebulun and Naphtali, who were walking in this darkness, the shadow of death, and he would bring the light of Jesus Christ into their present. In our scripture reading today, we are going to see something of Isaiah's prophecy that spoke to those of the Old Testament and speaks to us today. There is something in these words about that child that was to be born that gave Israel and us as Gentiles a reason of God's hope for all. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 9:1-7, and shall we stand in reverence to God's holy word. Isaiah 9:1-7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, that people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke, the burdens of them. The bar across her shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fueled for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words today. For to us a child is born. Lord, prophecy, as we look at the Old Testament and see how so much of that is prophesied in the New Testament. God, your word is true. It is not error. That God, you left your word for us to know about you, to know about your ministry, to know about your salvation, to know about your death. God, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that a child was born for each one of us, that we are sinners, and that we need a Savior. Bless this message. Might it honor you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. These people were walking in the darkness because they had abandoned God. And I think as we look upon our country today, maybe we have that kind of thought too. Maybe as we look upon the killings there in Colorado and other places too, you just wonder what goes through people's minds. That so many lives, innocent lives, were taken for an evil cost. But that's our world. That's what we live in. We live in darkness. But God has sent us a light that we uphold to. That is our hope. Each one of our is our hope in Christ. As the song said, that hope changes our lives. We have a wonderful counselor. We have a mighty God. We have an everlasting Father. And we have the Prince of Peace. Verse 6 reveals four names of Jesus, and each name represents his character. It teaches us who he is and how he can help us today. First of all, Jesus is a wonderful counselor. I've never been really to a counselor, but I know some have. And I guess we could kind of use that. I shouldn't say no, I never have been, because I've been at meetings where, being in banking, they kind of gave you a little insight into the future of what they thought would happen. So it was some advice, I guess. We have school counselors. We have financial counselors. We have pastoral counselors. We have medical counselors. We have agricultural counselors who tell you when to buy and sell the grain or the livestock. If you hire them or they have a fee for doing that. You take trust, a lot of trust in their knowledge. And their expertise. Counselors are really very influential in forming maybe our decisions or our opinions upon what they tell us. The problem in today's text, people were walking in the darkness, was that they were listening to the wrong counselors. In Isaiah 8:19, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, Should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Right on Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls, it's on the east side there. I think some of you have driven by, and they have fortune telling there, or mediators. I know my sister was telling about a mediator who was down at a church down in Atlanta there, talking to the dead. That has to be awful inspiring talk, doesn't it? But they're there. That's who people are looking to for counseling. But Isaiah proclaims this wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. Jesus has the ability to help them and to help us deal with the darkness of sin. What a wonderful counselor we have here today. His presence is with us. The only way I can deal with sin, and the only way I believe you can deal with sin, is to realize that Jesus is your counselor. You can go to him any time of the day. You wake up at night, as Earl Nelson would say, don't count the sheep, talk to the shepherd. A shepherd who counsels us, who loves us. A church who loves each one of you, that we might love one another. Who can take this way the sin of the world. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a song. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Jesus is a mighty God. This mighty means a strong one or a powerful, valiant warrior. The term is a military type title. Jesus is a God who fights for us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This child to be born to Mary was to be called the mighty God. In the New Testament, Luke 1:35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High, mighty God, will overshadow you. In Linsky's commentary, as we talk about the conception of the Virgin Mary, was brought by a powerful, Linsky said, was brought by a powerful and mighty God. And to explain beyond this, we are not to go. The divine record in the Bible presents the facts and no more. Interesting. How many times do we want to know more? No more. But even in the Bible, God says, I'll only give you what you need. Represents the facts and no more. Jesus is an everlasting Father. Jesus is called the everlasting Father because of his Father like character. Jesus was God, but his love and grace for us are like that of a father with his children. Jesus is before, above, and beyond time. There was never a time when Jesus was not, and then there never will be a time when he won't be with us. If you have claimed Jesus and confessed in your heart and believe, you will be saved. Here is a Father who will never leave you or forsake you. But remember, that is only true if you have chosen to accept him as your personal Savior and continue in your faith. Continue in your faith. life is a journey, and the destination we reach depends on the path we choose. What path are you on today? Are you on the narrow path, or are you on the wide path? What path do you choose? God is an everlasting God, an everlasting Father. Fourthly, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The term literally means the child who's coming to bring peace. The effect of Christ's coming brings us three meanings of his peace. The peace with God. God offers peace to all those who call upon him. This peace is a change in our relationship with God, from once being a sinner, but now a forgiven child of the Father. Through this peace, we have salvation. And we have the peace of God. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." This peace of God brings calm in the storms of life. Many are dealing with physical issues or cancer. Maybe it's a financial storm. Maybe it's a marriage crisis storm. But Jesus can bring peace to each one of those. In the middle of trials and life, our life circumstances, Jesus is at peace. And we have the peace from God. When we have peace with God, we can extend that peace to others to help us maybe reconcile with one another. In John 4, it says, "Let us love one another. Since God loved us, we also must love one another." In John's letter, love is used 45 times. Do we love one another? Do we care for one another? Are we that example of Christ? Are we that light of Jesus Christ to others? But I believe the most important part of that reading in Isaiah today are the first three words in verse 6, "For to us." For to us, the gift of Christ is a personal gift from us, from to us. This gift requires a response from each one of us. Maybe some of you have responded already. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What a picture. But if we notice on the outside, there's no handle or no opener. Have you opened the door to Christ in your life today so that he might bring you the peace that passes understanding from your sins? Maybe through, again, difficulties, storms of life. Maybe you're confused today. Maybe you've been confused about your life. Well, you've come to the right place, the right hospital. God is a wonderful counselor. Maybe you are weak in your faith. God is a mighty God. I think of David and Goliath. Look at the faith that David had when all the rest stood back and he faced the giant of Goliath. Are you scared of letting God come into your life? Maybe some of the old life is hanging on in there. But as far as the east is from the west, God forgives our sins. He forgives our past. Maybe we are being convicted of our sin. God is the God of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So we have communion in a little bit. May we need to search our hearts, confess our sins, examine our life. Maybe we need to ask Christ into our life. I want to end with a story here that I thought was very fitting for an ending. I read the true story of a little girl named Jana who was in a Christmas pageant. As her mother told the story, the day of the Christmas presentation finally arrived. My young daughter Jana was so excited about her part that I thought she was to be one of the main characters, though she had not told me what she was to do. The parents were all there, and one by one the children took their places. I saw the shepherds fidgeting in the corner of the stage, meant to represent the fields for their sheep. Mary and Joseph stood solemnly behind the manger. In the back, three young wise men waited patiently, but still Jana sat quietly and confidently. Then the teacher began. A long time ago, Mary and Joseph had a baby, and they named him Jesus. And when Jesus was born, a bright star appeared over the stable. At that cue, Jana got up from her chair, picked up a large tinfoil star, walked behind Mary and Joseph, and held the star up high for everyone to see. When the teacher told about the shepherds coming to see the baby, the three young shepherds came forward, and Jana jiggled the star up and down excitedly to show them where to come. When the wise men responded to their cue, she went forward a little to meet them and to lead the way, her face as alight as a real star might have been. The little play ended. On our way home, Jana said with great satisfaction, "I had the main part." "You did?" her mother asked in a surprise. "Yes," she said, "because I showed everybody how to find Jesus." We serve a mighty God, a God who brings us peace, peace that passes all understanding. Jana showed that peace through the star above the babe who laid in the manger. We serve a mighty God and an everlasting Father when we serve Jesus. And the most important thing we can do on his behalf is show others how to find him. Just like the little girl, we need to tell others about the Savior. Maybe it's repetitious in our lives. I hope it never becomes repetitious in our lives. That it was always new every day. That we have a mighty God, an everlasting God, a loving Father. Jana brought that bright star at Christmas. With all her heart, she did have the important part. She showed others where the Christ child would be. And I pray that's the message for you today. We sit here and have heard God's word. We've sang Christmas songs, read scripture. Take it with you. There's a lot of lost people out there. There's a lot of people who are drowning. As I had with D.L. Moody. E.L. Moody once said, "I look upon this world as a wrecked vessel. Its ruin is getting nearer and nearer. God said to me, 'Moody, here's a lifeboat. Go out and rescue as many as you can before the ship sinks.' If the end seemed about to come to Moody's day, how much closer must we be to the climax of history. If there was ever a time when we should man the lifeboats and go out and rescue as many as we can, it is now. Today, God is calling you to proclaim the saving grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel to those who may be drowning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for just the compassion that we have, the love that we have for you. Might it be revealed in our lives? Not just Sunday, but all the other six too. I know we come in contact with different situations, but God, might your Holy Spirit help us. Give us the right words to share. Whether it's going to the hospital and visit with someone who is lost and drowning, whether it's going to a retirement home, Lord, to share with the elderly, whether it's to go to work and finally get up enough nerve to talk to our workmate, maybe someone at work about Christ, maybe it's someone in our family. Ooh, that'd be hard. But Lord, give us the grace. Give us the wisdom, give us the strength that we serve a mighty God, that you have given us the power through the Holy Spirit to share your word. God, be with us now as we come to the Lord's Supper. Give us grace. Give us forgiveness. Might each one have searched their heart and know that they need to trust in you. In thy name we pray. Amen.